Welcome to That Creator Life, a show where we discuss the process, the struggles, and the wins of content creation. My name is Zach. I'm a YouTuber and content strategist helping you start your journey. Welcome back to the show. Today, we have a special guest. Connor, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you, Zach. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, nice to see you. And last time I was on your podcast, the Comeback podcast that I recommend to be for people to listen to. Can you tell us a bit about yourself before we start? And how did you start your content creation journey?
Yeah, no worries. So when I was at university in England, I studied journalism, which to do with content creation, such as writing articles, etc. I did bits of recording, but never to a high level. And then coming to Vietnam in 2019, it took me a year and a half, but I finally started my own podcast in January 2021, just over a year now, where I started interviewing people from all over Saigon and beyond. And that's been going for a year. That's the start of my content creation.
And as I understand it, the number of episodes you got to now is more than 300, right?
305, as we speak. Wow. Yeah.
That's an amazing amount of work. Can you tell us a bit about the reasons you started the podcast and why specifically a podcast in an audio format?
Yeah, sure. I've always, I'd say, dreamt about it. I've always considered it. Say, going back to 2017-18, I listened to podcasts quite extensively on my commutes, in my room, at the gym. Wherever I'd go, I'd enjoy the podcast medium. And I think I could do quite well in this medium. There was something about my journalistic background, my curiosity, my interest in other people that thought, yeah, this could actually work. But it was, again, a case of never actually getting it started because of fear or because of procrastination, so many reasons. So eventually when I started it, it was in January 2021. And before that, I was doing blog articles. So I was interviewing people via the written form because I was comfortable with it. I thought it was good practice for my later journalism, which I hope to go into again one day. And eventually I thought I should just get this started. I had the most basic equipment. I had the most basic setup. And the reasons ultimately for the comeback as the name were because I'd made a comeback from adversity in my own life, interviewed people about their own comebacks from adversity, and thought this also would work. This is a theme that people could get behind and we could get some great interviews. And also my initials are CK, so I thought by putting that at the end was almost a personal touch, I guess. So that was the whole, you know, origin story of the comeback.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, the name actually captivated me the first time I saw it, Comeback. Because I kind of relate to that story of getting over adversity and, you know, it's actually coming back to life.
Yeah,
in a way. Can you tell us a bit about your content creation process in terms of making the podcast and how do you go about that?
Yeah, sure. So it's fairly basic, to be honest with you. And I don't mean that in a self-deprecating manner. I mean that when I was beginning the journey, one of the things that held me back was my, I suppose, lack of technical expertise. I wasn't particularly well-versed in the video side of things or anything else, where I thought I'd want to release to Spotify and to Apple Podcasts and those kind of platforms. And you only really for that need the audio. I could go to YouTube, but I was more concerned with the audio. I think that nature of the conversation would be better there. One day I might use the video, but it was audio to begin with. So that's where it all began. And I started with the most basic setup of just do it, where so many times I thought, but I've not got this, I've not got that, I've not got sponsorship, I've not got an audience, I've not got a huge camera, I've not got a studio. I made every excuse under the book until one day I just had to do it. And what I had was a table, two chairs, a mobile phone, which could record decent-ish quality. I thought, why not just start it here? Because once I start, I can then get the momentum and I can build and I can build. And one of my guests, Milan, shout out Milan, he came around and he had these small lavalier, I think that's how you pronounce it,
lavalier mic.
Yeah, there we go. That's the word. Those microphones offered to me where you can just clip them on. I thought, wow, this is great. And listening, the audio went up, you know, 10 times. It was like night and day before and after those mics. So from doing that, I thought, wow, this is a much better way to get the content flowing. So in that, from the technical side of things, that's what I did. I had the most basic start, but I just thought, let's make the best of it. Let's just keep going. So that's where it all began.
That's awesome. Like, even when I went to your show, it was a really good experience for me because I'm kind of like a perfectionist.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, Connor already is like almost 300 episodes and your setup is basic, but it's very functional, right? Get in and do the thing, right? And it really inspired me to come back to my setup here and I actually wanted to do video first, so I was overthinking it. I was trying to make it look like a very interesting conversation with video, different lighting setup and stuff. But then you inspired me to go back to the basics and just get on it and do it. And I think a lot of us in the beginning of any kind of content creation process, we usually overthink stuff.
Yeah.
So is there anything you want to share with us in terms of dealing with those kind of thoughts and, you know, struggles mentally, right?
Like
you want to do something, you have these big ideas, but then you just want to do it now with the basic stuff. How did you manage that? Like, is there any process in your head that you engage?
Yeah, that is a good question. And there are a few things. One was that I was scared of it being rubbish, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I thought, no, I can't release this content unless it's perfect. Until I realized two things. One, perfect doesn't exist. There will always be a flaw, especially at the beginning of any project. I also read a book, The Four Agreements. I don't know if you're familiar.
No, I'm not familiar.
Number four is always do your best, and your best will differ from time to time. So I remember releasing the first one and thinking, oh, that sounds okay. I listened back after the 300th one. I thought, that sounds dreadful. But at that time, with the experience, with the knowledge I had, that was the best I could offer. So upon realizing that I can always do, and I can only do my best at any situation, just go with it, was a huge help. And with that, it helped me overcome perfectionism, because I realized it would never come. Mm-hmm. So why not just get it out here now? And from the procrastination point of view, I used to think I can't release it until it's perfect. And I would wait 2 years and never do a thing. Whilst if I just release and release until it gets slowly better over time, in 2 years, I can look back at a portfolio and think, wow, that's a journey. That's something to be proud of. That's improvement, rather than nothing, because I'm waiting for it to be perfect. That never comes. And I think it's a dangerous way of thinking. So upon kind of going through that journey of procrastinating and doing nothing, I realized I have to have something to go behind. And this is the podcast. It will get better over time the more I do it. There will be some episodes that aren't the greatest because I've just started the journey, but just get them out there, get them done, and see where you progress. I watched Joe Rogan's very first podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've watched it.
I've seen a clip of it, not the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's not well lit. Okay, the right word is not well lit.
Yeah,
it's not lit. Like, there is no light.
Yes.
You cannot even see their faces. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
there's
so
just
weird.
Widgets going around the screen, and there's all sorts of things popping up. And I thought, well, that was the first one. Look at it now. He had to start there probably to get to this point. So I'll just go. So I'll just release until I feel happy. So that's what I've been doing, really. Just done is the new perfect. I can't remember where I heard that, but it stuck with me.
Can you say that again?
Done is the new perfect.
Done is the new perfect. I actually like this one.
It's nice, isn't it? Yeah.
I need to hear this more and more, because one of my biggest struggles is perfectionism.
Mm.
And it's even like for me more impactful to hear those kind of things.
Yeah.
Because I kind of have this discussion with my mind or my brain about perfectionism is not good, but it also sometimes can produce good quality stuff.
Yeah.
So there's this kind of like balance that you have to manage between quality and quantity.
Yeah.
So the thing that I kind of settle with now with my own self is, hey, if you can do this today and at the end of the day, like 12 a.m., if it's not done, then you're screwed up. You missed the opportunity. So it has to be done today. Mm. That's why I like the idea of like done is the new perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if it's not done, then it doesn't matter. Like if you think you need one more day to make it. Like I had this with my YouTube channel before, was like I postponed like some videos so I have like a deadline of doing it in 2 days. Then I'm like, oh, I need one more day to make this step. Oh, I need this shot. I need to go upstairs to the roof to make this. And it's like, hey, just stick to the deadline. If you can do it by the deadline, it's done. That's it. And I think these kind of things, like these kind of ideas, they really help when it comes to creating the content, especially at the beginning. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like if you asked a lot of content creators, whether this be musicians or painters or podcasters or YouTubers, they would all probably say that if they didn't give themselves that deadline, they wouldn't actually have finished it. And they probably look at even their most regarded work, they probably still find flaws with it.
Absolutely.
I think it's human nature.
That's what I do all the time.
Yeah, it's like, human nature. You see your work, even if it's your best work, you still think, oh, but I could have done this better. So that's always there. And now I'm aware that that does happen. I think at one point I'm just going to get it done. Otherwise, it will always be locked away. So just get it out there.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's funny for me that I'm not really stressed about other people's opinion. Like a lot of people are actually. But it's, for me, it's like my own judgment is the worst that I could ever have. And it's the one that I have to deal with all the time. It's like I don't even have the time or the energy to deal with negative comments or negative energy. So, yeah, like coming back to this idea of done is the new perfect. I think it's really speaks to me. Connor, can you tell us a bit about the tools and the services you use to produce your content? Like, for example, Anchor or other services?
Yeah, no worries. It is Anchor. That's the platform that I release it to, where it goes to all streaming platforms. Before doing this podcast, I want to stress I had no knowledge of how it works, how to get it onto Spotify, how to get onto Apple. I thought you needed SoundCloud first, mm-hmm. and then you needed to pay for Spotify, Apple, and whatever else separately. Until I can't even remember how I stumbled across, just Anchor popped up, and it was, oh yeah, it goes to all streaming platforms in one. And I recorded my, not demo, but trailer. That's
trailer,
it. Yeah,
okay.
Intro trailer. It was only 2 minutes. Just, hey, this is Connor. This is what will happen. And I released it just the first draft, just because to see, does it actually go on Spotify? Mm. Then I Googled, then I, you know, searched myself, and it was there. I went, oh, shoot, I'm going to have to record a better trailer. So I did that and thought, wow, it's that simple to get it out everywhere. And it was free and it didn't cost nothing. And once you put the recording through, it's there. You can edit it, you can take bits out, and it's all there available, done. I thought, wow, is it really that easy? It was one of those moments that, you know, it stopped me taking action for ages, because I thought I needed really good equipment, really good software. And because of my, I suppose, my lack of a tech brain, I didn't, you know, I wasn't familiar with software like GarageBand or Audacity or any of that. So Anchor for the start was just perfect, just to get it done. And that's what I do. Towards the beginning, and still now really, I have just phone and laptop, which I will plug the microphones into and then just talk. Like, I will press record on the phone, plug the microphones in, have the conversation with the guest. And I'm sure that with, say, higher quality audio software, etc., it would be slightly better. Mm-hmm. But I think for the product I'm producing right now, it's enough. Like, done, it's done. And as we've said, that's the new perfect. So yeah, that's really where I'm at. Anchor, recording via a phone device or a laptop device and getting it out there. And the audio, okay, as I've just mentioned, it's not incredible, but it's good. Like, you can hear it perfectly. It's crisp, yeah. It's clear. So that's my tools.
Having the basic, like, no noise, yeah. You know, clear voice, that's more than enough.
Yeah, precisely.
I have a funny story with Anchor, because as a tech guy, whatever, I knew about Anchor, but I wanted to make it difficult for myself, just because I love to do that sometimes, you know?
Sure.
It's like, I want to make it, because Anchor sounded so easy and so straightforward. It was like, no, it's too good to be true. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I just, I remember, like, for my first podcast with the tech channel, it was like, I want to host the audio RSS feed on my website. And I wanted to go to Google and go to a podcast, to Spotify, go to, what's the other one?
Apple?
Stitcher.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to do it in a very complicated way, which I didn't have to do, just because, you know, I want the best thing. And here's the funny thing. Even after doing all of those steps, SoundCloud and going here and there, it was not a good quality podcast until I switched back to Anchor. Because
yeah.
Anchor just simplifies the process, and hey, I don't have to worry about publishing. I don't have to worry about RSS. I can only focus on the quality of the content itself and the audio quality. And that actually made the podcast way better.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I swear by Anchor now.
Same, man. It goes back to just doing it without thinking about all these different variables. Mm-hmm. If you're new to the game, just, you know, get it done. I think that's the key.
And it's so easy now, right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
so easy. Like,
and just build some momentum straight away.
You can, like you mentioned, you can actually edit the final audio on Anchor before
yeah.
you publish. So you don't even need like an editing software.
Exactly, yeah, it's, yeah. It's just right there.
And you even have like some transition effects for
yeah.
free and stuff
yeah.
like that. Can you tell us about, that's the technical part of the podcast. What about the networking part? How do you get the guests on and how do you reach them?
That's been getting better. The initial point was I just asked people.
Okay.
And it was very simple, where I used to think I needed I don't know what exactly I expected, but I think I needed some big thing where I would have to ask people, like, I didn't know, like my own website or something where people were sending applications. And then I just thought, why don't I just start asking people I know or people I meet? And my first guest, Casey, shout out, met her on a night out and just said, yeah, I'll start a podcast soon. She went, oh, I'd love to come on. I thought, and it was one of those moments where I thought, well, I've just gone, spent a day thinking of grand master plan ideas, starting websites and getting business cards. And I've just got her on a night out and sent her a message. And she said, yes. I was like, is it really that easy? Surely not. I tried it again and again, and the guests kept coming. I thought, oh, the power of the DMs. It's like sliding into the DMs was my main form of networking. Wow. I did the same with people who had some kind of public profile. Like there was a guy, Alistair Campbell, who is Tony Blair's ex-director of communications and strategy and very well known in the UK. And he's very open about mental health in particular. He's written books, he's given speeches. And when I'm going through my own journey, from 18 to 21, I listened to a lot of his work and really enjoyed it. And just on the off chance, commented on his Instagram saying, would you be interested in coming on? Just as a off the whim, just completely, let's just see. And he responds, yep, email me on the website and we can get this arranged. Sent him an email. He said, yeah, 11 a.m. Tuesday. Yeah, okay. We did the interview.
That's it.
Yeah, and wow. I thought, that was so simple. So when I've had questions since, like, how did you get Alistair Campbell on? I just asked. And it always goes back to just ask. And the worst case scenario, because often I don't know the people personally that I ask for the interview. And if the, some people might think that's weird. If they say, oh, no, well, okay, find another guest.
Just move on. Yeah. But you have to do it, like, don't talk yourself out of it before doing it.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. Because there are so many people in Saigon in particular.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, so many people that, if I didn't do this podcast, I wouldn't be able to connect with just because of different backgrounds and cultures, etc. Why not just try this with the podcast form? The worst is a no. So I just asked and, hey, presto, 305 people said yes. So
yeah, it's crazy.
It works.
And it's like killing like two birds with one stone because you get to know the person, like, you know, personally, right?
Yes.
At the same time, you're sharing their experience with the world. So yeah. I think it's one of the best formats for
doing this. Definitely. It's a mutual exchange.
I want to ask about somebody on your podcast that I'm really kind of interested in. It was not the guest, but she was the wife of Dorian Yates.
Yes, yes.
And I'm a big fan of Dorian Yates, as you know, with bodybuilding and his philosophy now and everything. Yeah. So how did you get her on?
that's another good back to I asked. I watched the London Reel. Are you familiar with London Reel?
Yeah, of course. But yeah. Ryan Rose, all of it.
Yeah.
Anything that has to do with Dorian Yates, I know about it.
Right, I see. Yeah, so you've seen the Shadow movie?
Yes.
Yep. I can't remember the exact name. But I saw Dorian and Gal on there. And I've reached out to Dorian Yates for interviews as well. Mm-hmm. Hasn't replied. And then I saw that Gal Yates was active on Instagram. I said to her, oh, hey, you know, she's also involved in heavily in bodybuilding and doing a great journey. Mm-hmm. So I said, hey, would you be interested in a conversation? She went, yeah, sure, I'd love to. And she was extremely polite, extremely kind, extremely giving with her time. I thought, brilliant. We had a half hour conversation. And yeah, that's the whole process. I just asked her on Instagram.
Just like a DM or a comment?
Yeah, just a DM.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And the conversation just took place, yeah. And she was a great interview as well. I mean, on the interview, she mentions how she was starting out her bodybuilding journey and then met Dorian. When she didn't know who he was. Well, people were telling her, oh yeah, you should enter these competitions because there are people like Ronnie Coleman and Dorian Yates. And she went, oh, okay. And then ended up marrying him and now works with him at DY Nutrition. So yeah, that's how that all came about. Again, just a DM.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
You're really inspiring me to reach out to more people, especially for my podcast, because sometimes I get those ideas like, oh, this is an interesting conversation that I could have with this person, but then like, oh, or maybe they're not going to respond, or you know, they're over this, I don't know, level that I imagine they would never even consider you know, talking back. And hearing this kind of, you know, instances that you have, it just reminds us that, hey, some people are very willing to just engage, right?
Yeah, definitely. I used to have, especially from 18 to 20, this, I suppose, idolized view of celebrities. If there's someone in the public domain, I'd see them as untouchable, unreachable. And then this has really brought me back down to earth where I thought, oh, they're very, very ordinary, people, normal. Right? Yeah, just having those conversations. There's about 7 or 8 people who've got some kind of public profile who've been on the comeback. And every time I've met them, they've always just impressed me with how normal they are. But one person I interviewed, Philip McKernan, he works with a lot of people at really high ends of their industry, like acting, music, etc. And he said he often gets the same idea of, oh, wow, they're just normal. But then he checks himself and goes, well, of course they're normal. Why did I have the idea that they would be anything but? And once I realized, yeah, it's my responsibility that I put celebrities on this pedestal. Let's just treat them as normal humans. Don't have this idealized view and just have this conversation. And speaking to people like Alistair Campbell or Gary Yates really brings me that perspective and that grounding.
Absolutely. And if you think about it, it's usually an image that's created by media, by other people. So it's the image itself is not real. Like it's not something concrete. Like when you see these people in front of you, they're not like God. They're not flying with a carpet, whatever. They're just human beings, right?
Yeah.
But the images we see online, social media, or TV, whatever, those create this impression that they are bigger than God, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, just keep things in perspective. Connor, I want to move on to talking about the psychological part of creating content, which is a fascinating subject for me. Because in terms of, you know, getting stuff done or getting shit done, right? You want to have a strategy. You want to have a mindset. Is there anything that you use in terms of, okay, I can give you some examples. In terms of fitness, health, books, things that you do to get to that mindset.
Yes.
Of creating content and getting things done.
Yeah, absolutely. I think diet and fitness is becoming more key to me. I never really took it seriously until the age of, say, 22. And that's when, hey, I'm still not perfect, can I just say. But just doing it more and more regularly, knowing that there was some quote I read about health and fitness where you're going to have to, if you don't make room for exercise, you make room for illness. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yeah, it will catch up with me eventually. So let's take care of my health first and foremost. Your health is your wealth, etc. Also reading. I'm an avid reader. I've always just found books really fascinating. And I noticed when I was in my teenage years mm-hmm. and I stopped reading just because I guess it wasn't cool. I suddenly lost a lot of my interests, a lot of my passions, a lot of my hobbies. So that's why I really get into a book, and I read a lot of nonfiction. I read a lot of books from people who've done quite interesting things or have quite interesting messages. People like Tony Robbins, Dr. Joe Dispenza, Eckhart Tolle, Paul McKenna, Robin Sharma, etc. And they really give me some kind of fuel to keep going. It gives me a sense of clarity and also empathy. I think with the content creation side of things, from the work that I do with podcasting, I really need to have some empathy for the people sitting opposite because they are very different to me due to background, etc. And if I was in their shoes, I would probably see the world very differently. So that's why I think, right, let me try and get into their perspective, get into their mindset and see where that works. So I suppose just having this open mindset and always being willing to learn is what keeps me in the mindset for the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, one of the books that changed my life was Jim's Rohn book, Seven Strategies for Health and I forgot the name, for Wealth.
Okay, sure.
And that book really gave me a good perspective about how to approach not only content creation, but just business, life in general. And those kind of things really help. Is there anything you do in terms of, so those are the books, right? And is there anything that you do like in terms of daily routines that help you bounce back into that content creation mode? Like turn on the button?
Yeah, for sure. I think journaling, meditation, they're probably the main two. Really checking myself where if I have, say, an irrational thought process where I'll go down that self-loathing route, I'd just bring myself back and say, hang on, is this true? Let's journal this out. And
oh, so you're journaling, right?
I do, yeah. Okay. And quite quickly realize that it's just my subconscious going down a route that I don't want it to, trying to cultivate that level of self-awareness to know when things are going wrong and how to bring them back, how to make the comeback. Also meditating and really trying to just stay present. I know it's probably become quite mainstream the last few years, this idea of present moment, but I really do think it's important to just stay sometimes and observe your thoughts, really be there, be with it, and also try and work out where the issues arise. That's probably my daily routine. Also gratitude, I think that's key. I'm not saying that anything that's, you know, extremely original here, but gratitude is very important. Just realizing that I've got so many privileges in my life. The fact that I live in Vietnam, I live in a great, vibrant, dynamic, competitive city. I have lots of great friends. I have lots of great resources. I'm near to nature in some regard. I can take trips whenever I want. I have a nice salary. I have a nice job. There are so many things to be grateful for. So I really try to practice that on a daily basis to keep me occupied at the highest level. So when I produce a podcast, I'm in the best possible state.
My gratitude is actually very basic. It's just the fact that I woke up.
Yeah, you can really go to that.
Like, you know, my story of like almost, you know, dying. Sometimes I think about those things. Like, I have a roof over my head. I have, you know, income, whatever. I'm healthy. I'm not, you know, in the hospital, whatever. But just going to, back to that basic of like, hey, I'm actually alive. I woke up. I could go to sleep and never wake up.
Yeah.
But I'm alive. And those kind of things, it could be any kind of level of gratitude or any kind of gratitude you can have. But it just has to be real, right?
Yeah,
it has
for sure.
to be real, something you feel. And I see a lot of people doing this thing. It's kind of becoming like a trend where people, they either, what's the name of that thing that people repeat? Mantra?
Affirmations. Yeah. Or mantra.
Like a mantra. Yeah.
Usually
those kind of things don't work. You're just repeating them. It has to be real, like something you feel.
I completely agree.
Yeah, words don't change things, but it has to be inside of your head.
Yeah, it's like saying, I am confident, all over and over again, won't work until you actually feel confident.
Exactly. Yeah. You're just like, you know, bullshitting yourself.
And precisely.
Like, I don't believe that. I know you. I am you.
Yeah, so you just keep saying it over and over. It doesn't work. You need to change the strategy. So. Yeah,
and that's what brings us back to what you said about observing your thoughts. I think that's a very interesting thing to do.
Yeah.
To keep the, you know, keep yourself aware of things that come up in your head, and don't like dismiss them right away. Just observe them like objectively, and you know, today I don't feel good about doing a video. Why? That's the thing. Like, I used to be in that like panic mode. You know, whenever I get those, you know, thoughts of like not doing things, I was like, wow, I should not think like that. I need to be successful. I need to do this. I need to do this. And once you kind of force yourself into that mode of denial and just dismissing those thoughts, they become stronger and they overwhelm you. What I learned to do recently, I mean, in my recent years, is just like, calm down and talk to them. Like, okay, I don't want to do it today. Why? Maybe because my girlfriend says something bad to me. Okay. Oh, let's go deeper into that. And usually when you go back to it, it's just like something that happened maybe before or the day after that made you feel different. And it affected you, your mood, and you just have to kind of deal with it. Like, putting it away or dismissing it is not going to help. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I try and make my mind work for me, where I will sit there and observe the thoughts, but don't judge them. So if I'm sat there and, you know, this kind of thing of, oh, I'm feeling lazy today, I'm a piece of shit, etc. I'll think, okay, well, I feel that today, let's just ride this out. And I'll just sit there almost and get on with whatever I'm doing and really not pay it too much attention. I'm kind of fairly well versed now in knowing my own mind to know, it's not playing ball. That's okay. Just keep going and then do what you can and just really treat it almost as if it's not irrelevant, but not the monster that I'm making it out to be. Like, really just trying to stay at peace with my own mind and being like, okay, today's not the greatest, and really just accept it like that and then just roll with it anyway. That really helps me.
That's a very good advice. Because for me, I was the opposite. I was either on or off. Like, if today I don't feel like great energy to make stuff, I would write off the whole day. Like, okay, forget about it. Tomorrow, I need to wake up at 4 a.m. and everything good.
I've also done that.
And those kind of things, they don't help. Because sometimes that one day that you write off becomes a 1 week. And then it's a downhill of that, you know, cycle of negativity and stuff.
Yeah.
But what I learned recently, because I'm a perfectionist by nature, so I really had to work hard on myself to bring balance in my head. Hey, today, like you said, it's not a great day. Maybe good, maybe not bad. Accept it and just do what you can.
Yeah.
And for me, that was never an option. What you can? What do you mean what you can? You have to do the best today. Every day has to be like top notch, and you cannot do that. And sometimes, you know, you pushing yourself to the limits would just backfire on you. So
yeah, for sure.
Just like Connor said, do what you can and move on.
Always do your best.
And here's the funny thing. When you look over, here's the funny thing. When you look over the years, you can see the percentage of how much, you know, you did. And that's what really counts.
Yeah,
it's like
for
the
sure.
consistency. Today is 20%. Okay, fine. Maybe tomorrow 30%, and then 40%, and then maybe go back to 20, and then next 80, and then one. So it's just like percentage. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be all the time top notch.
Yeah, precisely. Consistency is key. I learned that from James Clear, Atomic Habits. Just over time, just.
I want to read that book. I've seen it everywhere.
It's brilliant.
Atomic Habits.
I really recommend it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the book about? Just a quick...
Building habits, basically, and building good habits, breaking away bad habits, and just the small incremental changes needed to get there. Mm-hmm. Also about forming a new identity, where, for example, if you're trying to give up cigarettes, you should say, oh, I don't smoke, rather than, oh, not today. Because if you say, oh, not today, you're thinking it from the mindset of a smoker. So your smoker is your identity. But if you say, I don't smoke, you identify as a non-smoker. And if you identify as a non-smoker, it's very easy not to smoke because that's not what you do. Yeah. But if you're trying to quit, you're still a smoker. I've never smoked really, so that's maybe why people struggle to quit. I don't know. But yeah, he goes really more in detail into that, into that, building identity, building good habits, breaking out bad habits.
Okay, I definitely need to listen to that book because I'm not a reader.
Right,
I was never a reader. I'm an audiobook guy.
So okay, yeah.
Just listen while working out or driving. Connor, I want to move on to talking about the frameworks that you want to have, for example, when you're making a podcast, to just have the consistency of the creation. So sometimes what I mean by framework is having a system of how many episodes you do a week or how many episodes you publish. I believe you're not actually, correct me if I'm wrong, you're not recording and publishing immediately. So you have a batch of content and then you release it over time, right?
It really depends, to be honest with you.
Okay. Because can you tell us a bit about that process?
Yeah, no problem. This year, to be honest with you, I didn't really have any structure from the beginning in the whole thing. It was just, who are you going to interview? Everyone. What are you going to talk about? Everything. When will you release? It depends. It was a really, you know...
It's a good way to start, right?
Yeah, precisely, for the first year. And that's why I did 305 in 365 days, because I thought, let's just get them out there. And at the beginning, I wasn't doing too much of the editing. I was just getting them done, thinking, oh, there's a few ums and ahs that I could take out. It would take me a while. Let's just get it out. And now I spend a bit more time with the editing. I really do spend a bit more time trying to polish it. I still apply the method of done is the new perfect. Mm-hmm. So I still just get it done. But I do a bit more of that. And it really depends on the schedule, to be honest with you, where some days I will interview like 10 people in a week, the next week too. Like, it really does depend. And I always try and release a podcast every week at least. So always get one a week, because just to keep people fresh, keep people listening. There's been a couple of periods where I've had big batches coming out and I thought, ooh. And I was in a dilemma of whether to just publish them all in a batch or to do it day by day and promote the guest. And what I've changed my strategy to now is, say, dumping six at once, but then on social media, putting one every day. For example, Zach on Monday, Ricky on Tuesday, Gal on Wednesday, etc. Just really bringing it in over there. It really does depend. I think this year I'm not going to do as many episodes, to be honest with you. I don't think. And I'm going to really focus on making every single guest like feel like a god. Mm-hmm. Like they've got my complete undivided attention, and throughout that hour or however long we're there, everything is on them. And I'm really going to go in depth and really get more interesting ones. For example, there was a point in lockdown where I just interviewed everyone, but they were all a bit too quick, a bit too rushed. And I don't say this is a bad thing. I was in lockdown and that's where I was at. And I want to interview anyone, but I'd rather have now 4 or 5 1 hour really good, insightful chats than 10 half hours kind of standard.
Going for quality overall.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Are there any people you look up to when it comes to podcasting? Maybe Joe Rogan or other people?
Yeah, there are quite a few. My initial one was London Real. Brian off London Real, yeah. That's changed nowadays.
Since the shady stuff.
Yes, yeah. That was crazy.
But he was actually a good interviewer.
He was brilliant, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Objectively speaking.
Yeah. So I don't really know him that much about the shady stuff, and I'd rather not. I'd rather just focus on the old archives, but I don't even enjoy the episodes anymore. Mm-hmm. But let's say London Real from 2012 to 2019. Elite, loved it. Currently now there's High Performance Podcast with a sports presenter from the UK, Jake Humphrey, and Professor Damien Hughes. Very lucky to interview Damien for mine, which was like an honor. Diary of a CEO with Stephen Bartlett. That's also a big one. Joe Rogan, of course. Yeah, True Geordie. Yeah, there are quite a few.
One I really love, his way of asking questions from Impact Theory.
Yes, Tom Bellew, I think.
Tom Bellew, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard quite a few of his, quite like Rich Roll as well. Yes, School of Greatness.
Lewis sometimes he kind of like jumps over the conversation. So that's something that... Is not on top of my list. But he has good conversations with some interesting people.
Sure, yeah. My all-time favorite would be London Real.
London Real
before 2020. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Connor, any advice for people starting today and they want to have a podcast, they want to share their journey, whether it's for business, personal, brand, whatever. What's your advice for them to start?
Yeah, I did a presentation on this for 7 Million Bikes. Shout out to Neil for allowing me to do so. And I brought it to some really simple principles of just do it. Actually, just do it. And if you have a phone, if you have two chairs, just start and see where you go. You never know where it could get to. Have an open mind where try to really, I guess it depends. Like, you can just interview one set of people, and I completely get why you'd want to do that. But think, you know, you might learn something from someone that you wouldn't expect. This could be a colleague, a friend, friend of a friend, anyone really. Just try and bear that in mind. And also, I'd say, enjoy it. Make sure you enjoy the process. If you want to start a podcast and you think you're going to make millions off doing so, think of something else. Like,
really, there's the wrong reason to start.
Yeah, right? There are much better ways of making money than starting a podcast. Like, there are a lot better ways. So really don't think of it from that point of view. Don't think of it from big sponsorships or audiences. You won't have millions of followers straight away. That will take a while. Do it because you enjoy it. You really enjoy just having these conversations with people and really getting that connection that you wouldn't get in a bar, in an office, in a club, on the street, at work, because of the real, genuine, authentic connection you make with the guest. I would say just do it. Start with what you have, do your very best, and make sure you enjoy the process.
That's amazing advice. I mean, when I started my first podcast, which was about tech, I went overboard. It was video, like I said. It was two hosts. So, like, co-hosting with another YouTuber in Hanoi. He's also a tech YouTuber. And it just, like, things from the beginning were kind of like too much, right? So two hosts, that's too much in the beginning. We had to manage time differences, right? He has his schedule, I have my schedule. We also had to talk about deep insights into the tech industry, which was also very challenging. So I remember the podcast took me more time to prepare than my own videos on YouTube. That's when I saw, I kind of talked to myself like, hey, that's a red flag, you know. Yeah. It should be easy when you start, not the other way around. And of course, the podcast did not really continue. Like, we stopped around like episode 6 or something, because it was too much, you know. He has to edit one time, and the next time I'm editing. So it's like a lot of work. And what I learned from that doing this podcast, the Content Creator Life podcast, was just like simplify things. I mean, it just goes. And recently, I just talked to my friend. He's in Canada. He's like a marketing specialist. He's like, wow, Zach, you already have a podcast. Like, what's going on? How it happened? Like, and it's just because when I look back at it, it's just this idea of like simplifying things. And of course, Connor, you were an inspiration to do this. Like simplify it as much as you can and do it.
Yeah.
Like, of course, that's a cheesy thing to say, right? Do it. But go into the sense of, done is perfect, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Don't talk yourself out of it. Like, I've been doing this for, I've been talking myself out of things for a long time, and it's time to just do things, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's also thinking of why you want to do it. Is it because you want to have that fun conversation? Then it should be fun. You should really focus on that rather than, that was for me. I was more interested in having that conversation for 40 minutes with someone I find interesting and getting lessons to share rather than editing and promoting and marketing. I thought, I'll focus more on that part of it, just do it. And then eventually that side of things will come and I'll develop it a bit more. But for now, because I enjoy it, just get them done. I listened to quite a few episodes where people who'd started successful projects, say they'd try and start a business and 5 years later they'd make millions. And they'd look back at the really early points, the really early struggles where you get the small wins. Like, let's equate this to podcast form. I'd get 3 more listeners than last week, or I'd get 1 more listener, or someone from Azerbaijan would listen. I think, what, someone from that country is listening? And yeah, I miss the small things, right? Yeah, so they look back and miss those small steps, and I realized at this point in my journey I'm on these small steps, and I visualized into the future, and if I was to get, you know, the 100,000 subscribers and the likes and the sponsors, etc., a part of me would miss this journey that I'm on right now. So just really try and enjoy every moment. That's what I do currently. I just love the trajectory it's going on, slowly but surely getting there, and I love every moment. So I said enjoy it.
Absolutely. I just want to move on to talk about the negative aspects of content creation that we have to deal with, which could be comments, negative feedback, or negative toxic people in general. Have you dealt with any of this with the podcast format?
Not really.
I would imagine not so, right?
Yeah, not really, to be honest with the... not really, to be honest with you, in terms of negative comments, because I don't allow them in. Mm-hmm. I realize I have a choice, and I can't really remember any negative comments about the podcast itself.
Yeah, now that we're talking about it, it's like funny that podcasting is the cleanest in all of the social media formats.
Seems it, yeah. Because you don't have to listen. Yeah. Like, if you listen and you don't like it, you can just turn it off.
Yeah,
it's pretty simple. And with that also, if people don't like the content I produce, that's fine. Like, I'm well aware that because I interview so many different people about so many different things, some people aren't going to like it. It's not everyone's cup of tea. I'm completely cool with that.
So that's the online part. Have you ever had anything offline, like from friends, family, discouraging you or something you have to deal with to overcome?
Not really.
We talked about the personal stuff, but what about the outside?
Yeah, I'd say occasionally I've had like people say, oh, you should do this, or you should do this, or I listened to this interview and I didn't get anything from it. You should have asked her this. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's constructive criticism. I don't allow it to affect my mood, I think. Okay, cool. Like, I might take that as feedback or not. Mm-hmm. It depends. If it's someone who has done quite a few podcasts, I'll think, okay, yeah, I could listen and
yeah,
really
it depends
get something.
On who's giving you the
yeah,
advice,
yeah. But if it's
right?
someone who's never done a podcast in their life, then forgive just me for just yeah, forgive me for just saying, okay, thanks for your view and moving on. Because yeah, if you've not done it, then I'm not sure your advice is really welcome. So it really depends. But to be honest with you, no, because I've taken the responsibility now of my thoughts, actions, behaviors. So if somebody gives me a negative comment, it's my responsibility how I act with it. I could either go, no, what, you don't know shit, etc. Or I could just go, okay, thanks for your view, and move on. Because I often think if someone's going to take the time to give you a negative comment, they must be hurting. Yes. Because whenever I'm in a good mood, I never think, oh, I'm going to say something negative to Zach, for example. You know, nobody in a good mood ever does that. You're right, they're hurting in some way or form. So no, not really, to be honest with you. I've never had any discouragement. And to be honest, I probably wouldn't listen because I really, really enjoy doing it. So mm-hmm. if someone was to discourage me, I can't see myself, you know, budging because I'm very, very happy doing it. Yeah. So that's
and
the way we're
of
at.
Of course, because in the beginning you said that you're not doing it for like money or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So the reasons are very strong from the beginning. So
yeah, definitely.
It's very hard to shake them, right?
Yeah, for sure. I did realize once that if nobody listened to this podcast and not a single person could ever listen, mm-hmm. I'd still do them. I enjoy them okay. that much. So once I really had that in my mind, I thought, yeah, it really doesn't matter. Any kind of external thing, I'm still going to just do it. So that's why I just go and
go. That's amazing. Though. I mean, yeah. That's the core for anything that becomes successful is just you do it because you love it.
Yeah,
it's love like every almost bit like of it. Like a non-stoppable train that, you know, just goes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Connor, I want to move on and talk about your next projects and what are your plans for this year, 2022?
This year, I want to get back more into the journalistic realm. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately I want to do journalism in the future. So with that, I do need to start, you know, getting my act together. And with that, I need to start getting back to my articles, my written interviews, where I transcribe. That's what I did at the beginning. I enjoyed it. It's a bit more related to journalism. It was more tricky than podcasts, because podcasts, mm-hmm. you have the conversation and you just release it for everyone to hear. Journalism, you have to transcribe the interview. But yeah. there's software that you can do that, which I'm familiar with now, which is a
Descript,
huge help.
Right?
Descript, yeah.
Neil was yes. always talking
yeah,
about
yeah. it. He actually recommended it to me. So yeah so that's nailed in that regard. And I've also need to start writing books, and I've started writing my books, fiction, but partially autobiographical, mm-hmm. about experiences growing up and certain stories that I have that I think, yeah, this would fit well in a book. So I've started writing that, and whenever they come out, they will come out, but I'm excited to release them. But again, I'm on like first draft, so, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want to start thinking of, you know, New York Times bestsellers just yet. But yeah, that's ultimately it. The podcast, more quality than quantity, mm-hmm. as I said earlier, more in-depth, more real, really delve into some of the stories of the guests, but still keep doing them regularly because I love doing them. I've experimented quite a lot in the last year with, I used the first year as experimental year. So I trialed co-hosts. I trialed group podcasts.
I did not know that you had a co-host before.
I trialed it for a few episodes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
My friend Nick, yeah, yeah. I enjoyed the process, but I'm very happy just doing it by myself.
Okay.
Like when you were talking the story of you and the guy in Hanoi,
yeah.
I thought, nah, yeah, I was getting
too much
flashbacks.
Hassle.
Yeah, because I like to operate on my own time. Mm-hmm. And also because I like, if I could, and I did it almost every day last year. Someone else might have a different schedule, so I'd be saying, right, let's do the podcast at Tuesday, and it's like, I'm not free Tuesday, and then I have to wait. I'd rather operate by my own time. I'm quite introverted anyway. I'm quite happy doing things just by myself, so yeah.
Same.
I'm just going to just get things done by myself, and I can't remember the point I was at, but that's basically the plan. Yeah, I trialed a few things last year. I know now what works and what doesn't work. I didn't mind that process initially, where I do group Zooms, or I do conversations which were just freestyle. So there was no preparation whatsoever. And I said, let's see where we go. I might stumble on a format I like. It doesn't work for me. I do like to have some notes, because I noticed the freestyle ones, they were too fragmented, too disjointed, too messy, too many conversations going on. And I didn't know where to place it. And eventually I thought, no, just have some preparation. So now I know what works for me and what doesn't work. I'll use that going forward into 2022.
Awesome. So Spotify, by the way, recently allowed everybody to upload videos, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I see, like, after Joe Rogan, because he's the only one who had it before.
Yeah, yeah.
I think now I'm not sure if there's any criteria, but I see other podcasts with video.
Right.
Have you thought about, like, going to video format?
Yeah, it has.
Maybe YouTube?
yeah, it has crossed my mind, to be honest with you. Occasionally I've thought, yeah, it would be great, you know, having this, but it's probably laziness. You know, if I really strip it down to the real reason, it's probably laziness, where I'd have to buy the cameras and buy the equipment and do extra editing. And I'm not sure I'm that passionate about that side of things.
Okay.
Like, the whole theme I think I've discussed today is the passion side. I do it because I love hearing people's stories. I love getting the connections. I love that side of things. I don't really love, like, the technical stuff. Like, I really, that doesn't really register with me. So it's crossed my mind, but I can't imagine it coming anytime soon, but who knows?
I mean, as somebody who does video, not for a living, but almost for a living, I would say that's going to be a big challenge, a big hurdle that you might not really need right now.
Yeah.
It's like always like weighing the upside and the downside. And I think at your journey now, it's better to just, like you said, keep the quality coming. And video could be a different kind of format. Like, one thing that I would recommend is looking up shorts, for example, like just having a YouTube channel only for shorts and not even edit, not even having video of you. So basically, I don't know if you're familiar with the Character Animator.
No.
It's just like a Adobe program. There's other software online where you can have, for example, the audio of the interview that you have on your podcast.
Yeah.
And the characters will be animated, like, speaking.
Ah.
So just the audio, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the audio is there. You don't have to edit anything. And the characters would look like they're having a conversation. It's kind of like South Park style.
Yeah.
And you can just upload it on, like, some segments of it, for example.
Yeah. Well, that does sound sweet. And like, I certainly would consider.
For me, that would be, like, a more reasonable approach than just going full video.
Yeah, yeah. Because with that, I often think, is the time and energy and effort worth, with that pursuit, really worth the end goal? Where YouTube videos would be great, but do I really want to put in all that time, energy, and effort to get there? The answer's no. So that's why for the moment, yeah. But I will consider that shorts idea, you know, maybe as a starting
anything
point.
That you can do with less effort.
Yes,
and
yeah.
repurpose the content, like Gary Vee said.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So, Connor, thank you so much for being on the show. Can you tell us where people can find you on social?
Yeah, absolutely. Comeback is available on all streaming platforms, as we discussed. Probably best to type in Comeback, Connor, C-O-N-O-R, Kelly, next to it, because it makes it just easier to find. And also, my most active promoting sense is on Instagram at the Comeback with CK. I'm hoping to have the website out soon, so when I have the website, I will include that in all show notes, links, etc. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome, man. We're going to put all the details in the show notes.
Excellent.
Connor, it was a pleasure.
Really enjoyed this, Zach. Thank you.
Absolutely.